All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton standing here in the confessional corner with you as we look at the 10th commandment this week. This is the last of the commandments, the last of the words that the Lord spoke to his people on from Mount Sinai with his own voice before having it all written down for Moses. So what is this 10th commandment? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. All right, there is the 10th commandment from the Small Catechism. In the Concordia, we have the woodcut of Joseph and Potiphar's wife from Genesis 39. So let's take a look at this text as we study this week. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her and to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid his garment by her until his master came home. She told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. So far our text from Genesis 39. We are familiar with Joseph's story, and this is the second part of it after his brothers sold him into the land of Egypt, into slavery. So here we pick up the story and find out who bought him, you know, what happened to him, and in all of it, the Lord blessed Joseph, because Joseph sought to keep the word of the Lord. In fact, when the wife continues to come after him, he says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He's still keeping his religion that he had, not being subsumed by the religion all around him, but is keeping what he had learned from a very young age from his father. So Joseph, again, is a model of how we are to act and how God blesses the righteous. But again, God is also here blessing the unrighteous through the righteous, because everything that Joseph touches. And we had that at the end of the chapter as well, when he gets thrown into prison. Everything he does goes well. So even for the unrighteous slave owner, Potiphar, even for his wife, even for the keeper of the prison, everything goes well because of Joseph. Because of his faithfulness. Not seeking to entice or force anybody away from what they're supposed to be doing, simply trying to get his job done so that everybody else can do their job and take care of what they need to take care of. And that's what God calls us to in the 10th commandment. He calls us to be the people of God, to be the people seeking not only our own opportunities, not only our own dreams, but helping our neighbors fulfill theirs as well. And sometimes, yes, that involves us being righteous and doing all the right things, but it ending up blessing unrighteous people. That's a byproduct of all these things. And we never know when that blessing of the unrighteous person might be that first seed of faith breaking the ground of their stony heart. We don't know what happens to Potiphar after this. We are not told. When the story shifts, it goes from Potiphar and Joseph to Joseph and Pharaoh. So we don't even hear a mention of Potiphar afterwards. But maybe, just maybe, Potiphar got to thinking about what happened with this former slave of his, and how he rose to even a more preeminent position than he had as the captain of the guard. But again, what does he do? Joseph does his job, continues on becoming basically vice regent of the kingdom of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, who is still worshipped as the son of the sun god Ra. So, again, the unrighteous being blessed by the righteous, blessed through the righteous, and blessed because of the righteous. We can go through all kinds of different prepositions here. But what we have is the call to be righteous, the call to listen to the word of God above all things, regardless of how things might work out for us otherwise, understanding that when we are doing the work that God has given us to do, God is going to bless us in that work so that we might be a blessing to others. All right, and that is briefly the 10th commandment through the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. We could go into much greater detail maybe, but that's the core of it, is being and doing what we are called to do, so that we might be a blessing to those around us, the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So that the Potiphars and the Pharaohs in our lives may benefit from us, that and our good works that we do. So that they might also, maybe, one day come into line with our faith as well. And might go from being unrighteous to righteous. That's the goal, isn't it? Not even necessarily having to preach, but just doing the job that we are called to do. All right, that is going to be it for this week. I am Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for standing in the confessional corner with me. Next week, we go to the close of the commandments, looking at it real briefly as well, that we might truly understand what God says about all these commandments, so that when the questions come up about the commandments, we are equipped to wrestle with the theologies that come up out of it. Amen.